They hate us. They still all hate us. Some of them even call us publicans. And then they spit. They grind it into the ground a little bit. It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it. Be a tax collector. My family doesn't like me now either. My father was a priest, but I had a different road to take. I thought this was a much better way to make a living. They hate us tax collectors because we work for the Romans. But they are what they are. They're going to get the money one way or another. You might as well be a tax collector. Get the money for Rome. It's a great way to make a living. We can do whatever we want. No forms to fill out. No files to make. It's whatever we say, that's what it is. Because all that Pontius Pilate and the Herod kings care about is just so they get as much as they need to send to Rome and put a bunch in their own pocket too. But we can take whatever else we want. You know what we do if anybody argues? I got my boys. They're Roman soldiers. Anybody wants to argue with the publicans? We've got the enforcers. It's a long road that we have all the way from the Gulf of Aqaba all the way up to Damascus in the north. We Jews don't control the whole thing. On the other side of the Jordan River, east of the Dead Sea, the morning side of the river, it's the king's highway. It's where the taxes are the greatest. We can set up a booth along the highway, set it in the shade. I love sitting at my tax collector's booth. I love it when they come around the corner or up over their eyes and they look at me and they like to turn around and go some other way, but there's only one road. They have to come past here or my soldiers will stop them and they will pay whatever I say. In fact, I don't even have to stay in one place. I get done here. Quick mobility. This is the whole key. Mobility and force. Move up the road. I can hit that same caravan over and over again. Doesn't matter. Even if they say I already paid my taxes. I wonder why they hate us publicans. Tax collectors. It used to be the life I loved. And I didn't get it. But I do now. I was headed up to Jerusalem where I usually went to pay what I had to pay to Pontius Pilate and Herod. And then I'd just go have fun with the rest. Wouldn't go see my family because they really didn't want to see me. Until one day, headed over the Jordan River to go up, I saw all these crowds coming out of Jerusalem. From Jerusalem down to the Jordan River, 6,000 or 7,000 feet, they lose in elevation. Men, women, children, and Pharisees and scribes, religious leaders, all streaming out of the city because there was a man there. You'd call him one strange dude. Oh, rough character. Never bathed. Wore camel's hair. Spoke rough. Ate locusts and wild honey. I didn't know why everybody wanted to come and see him at first. But just thousands and thousands of people from the city and from all around that region, they came to see this man named John. And I knew his father because my father, as a priest, worked in the temple with Zechariah, John's father. His parents were old and they were long since gone, and he was out there by the Jordan River and he was baptizing. And for the life of me, I could not figure out why anybody would want to listen to this. His rough message. He looked at all the people when they came out and he said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" I thought, that's not much of a way to get popular with the people. But it cut me to the heart. I started to think about it. I was like a snake along the highway. I would bite people as they came past and collect the money from them, then go and bite them again up the road. He was talking about me. He was talking about the wrath of God coming. He sure had our attention. He had this message, though, that wasn't all anger. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." He said, "Change your mind about your sin, yourself, your God." There needed to be some big changes in my heart, that's for sure. And when I started to think about the wrath of God coming and the way I had treated people, I could understand why the crowd started to ask questions. Everybody was asking John, what shall we do? And he said to the people, "Well, if you have extra clothes or you have extra food, then you share with those that don't have it. Bring forth fruits like from a tree that show that you're repentant, that you've changed your mind about yourself and your sin and your God." I wasn't the only tax collector there. I looked around, I saw a few others, and all of a sudden I was just blurting it out. I didn't even think about it. I said, "Well, what should we do?" It's like he knew all of us. He said, "Don't collect more than you're required to." And the soldiers with me, I've never seen fear in their eyes before. They were saying it too. "What should we do?" And John said, "Don't extort money from people. Don't falsely accuse people. Be content with your pay." That was a whole different way of living. That made me sad for all the ways that I had lived before. But John wasn't done. He was preaching the good news. And I have to admit, for a long time in my life there, I was anything but religious. Son of a priest, I could just as well forget that part of my life. But I wanted to know, too, who John really was, because that's what the religious leaders were asking. "Who is this really?" And they asked him, "Are you the Christ?" And John flatly said, "No." Everybody thought it must be, but no. "Well, then, are you Elijah? Must be that great prophet from the Old Testament." He said, "No." "Well, what about the prophet that Moses talked about? Are you the prophet?" "I'm not him either." And then he quoted one of my father's favorite Old Testament prophets from Isaiah. He said, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert. Prepare the way for the Lord. Every valley will be filled in and every mountain will be leveled to make a highway for our God." Oh, I loved it when Isaiah said that when I was a child and I had forgotten all about that. That's what God was doing. It was not an accident that I came on John baptizing that day. And it wasn't an accident that God was getting through to my hard heart. "Every valley will be filled in. Every mountain made low. I'm the voice of one calling in the desert." Not the Christ, not the prophet, not Elijah. He had a message of good news, and it wasn't just getting to me. There were other tax collectors that were friends of mine. There was one named Matthew, tax collector. He heard John saying those things, and he listened, and he took it to heart, and then he was there and I was there when John's eyes lit up one day, and he pointed at a man coming, and there was this great joy and gladness in his voice. He said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And I thought, I'm worldly. I'm in the world. He takes away my sin too. It reminded me of my mother's favorite passage from Isaiah. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as wool. The God of us ancient Jews was awesome and wonderful, and I had turned my back on him. But no more. I was there to hear and see the Lamb of God, and I know why Matthew was so happy. He threw a party. Matthew had a party and invited all his friends over, all of us tax collectors, and he invited the prostitutes and everybody that nobody loved and everybody hated. He invited them all over. And Jesus came to dinner at Matthew's house. He came to the party. And you could listen to his voice and listen to and look into his eyes and see such love there that you finally realized why he said to that one woman that was caught in the act and they wanted to stone her to death, and he said, whoever is without sin, throw the first stone. And all those religious people went away. I saw it happen. And then it's only Jesus left with her, and he says to her, is no one left to condemn you? And she says, no one, Lord. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin. When you knew Jesus like that, you didn't want to sin anymore. I had a job to do as a tax collector, but I didn't want to do it the same way anymore. I didn't hate people anymore. I found the joy of giving, but I wasn't the only one. I had this other tax collector friend. Maybe you've heard of him. He's only about this tall. He liked to climb on everything because he couldn't see anything. So every time there were people around, my little tax collector friend would climb up on a rock or on a building. One time I was following Jesus with the crowd, and Jesus stopped under this one tree. And he looked up, and I looked up, and there was my friend right up there. And Jesus said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I'll dine at your house today. I almost laughed out loud. I thought, what, he invites himself over people's houses? But that's the way he was. And Zacchaeus hurried down, and he invited Jesus and the rest of us over to his house. And Zacchaeus, the tax collector, as bad as I was or worse, got up from the table. And in front of everybody, Zacchaeus said, Lord, here and now today, I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone, I'm going to pay back four times as much as I took. That was awesome. I knew how he felt by then. But what was really amazing was what Jesus said to him. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house. For this man too is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost. That was no accident when I saw John that day. That wasn't me choosing a new road. That was God leading me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Glory be to Jesus. Amen.